You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
There is nothing better than playoff football, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean that both football and soccer. You know, football. And joining us now from the Greenville Triumph, a young man who will throw on the shirt and the badge one more time tomorrow at Paladin Stadium, 2 p.m., when the Greenville Triumph host One Knoxville in a little USL League One first round action. He is a defender, a vet, and an all-around very handsome and good dude. Tyler Polak joins the show to talk a little Triumph footy. Tyler, what's up, big dog? How we doing, brother? Think, well, Tyler Polak, do we have you, my man?
Sticky butt.
Yes, you got me.
There he is. I'm good, big dog. How we feeling getting ready for the playoffs, brother?
Yeah, feeling good, especially after you call me a young man. That's going to push me through tomorrow's game.
Listen, if you when you guys get the dub and the inevitable, I'm telling you, the tarps off for Tyler campaign still running strong. Tyler, when you net one tomorrow, I'm taking full credit now that you've said that.
Yes. And then I'll be celebrating right in front of you guys, and then I'll be drinking beers with you too. So it'll be beautiful.
See, this is why I love Triumph footy. I'm getting told by a vet, by a cap, by an icon to the team that once he nets that elusive tarps off for Tyler goal, he's coming to stone cold a couple of brews in the riot section.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm here for it. Hey, talk to me a little bit about the run-up to the playoffs. This team's kind of been on a roller coaster, really, really hot start. Had a couple of games there in the middle where the goals were a little difficult to come by, but ultimately able to secure a home playoff round one matchup. Just kind of talk to me about the mentality of this team through the season leading up to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I thought overall it was a very good season. Like you said, we had a hot start, and inevitably there's some injuries, so you have to adapt and change, and unfortunately we couldn't, you know, get goals or keep goals out, but we got some guys back healthy and kind of went on that run. And yeah, like you said, got the home playoff game, which is huge. I mean, the fans want that. And we hope to put on a show for him tomorrow and keep this thing going.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tyler, we both been around the game a very long time. We know that there's a lot of cliches that float around about home field advantage and being in certain spots. But for a game like this one, especially when you are trying to build momentum up in round one to have a long playoff run, I mean, without dabbling into the cliches, how big of a deal was it for you guys to lock in at least one? Because there is a path to hosting another, but how big was it to lock in at least the first round at the house?
Yeah, huge. I mean, that sets the tone for the rest of the playoffs. I mean, we showed what we can do at home last Saturday, and I think that was great for the guys to win that derby and get the trophy. I think it gives them a little bit of confidence going into this weekend, knowing what they're fighting for, a little bit more important of a trophy. But we ride that momentum and get the win on Saturday, and then we move forward and see what our path holds as far as the next game.
One Knoxville is an interesting team, a newer team to USL League One, one that's still kind of developing. And sometimes when you have a team like this, Tyler, can be kind of tough to really nail down what the identity of that team is and what the best tactics to counter what they want to do might be. Mm-hmm. So from y'all's perspective, talk to me about the opponent tomorrow, One Knoxville SC.
Yeah, we've played them a couple of times this year. They pose a strong defense, so I think it's going to be about breaking down that block. And we've done it in the past. It's just about executing tomorrow and making sure we lock in defensively. But they're a good team. We just got to bring the right mentality, the same one we brought last Saturday, and just keep that going.
It's interesting the clash of identities between these two teams, Tyler, because you've got one Knoxville trying to make a name for themselves, have their first playoff bid. On the flip side, here's the Greenville Triumph, have been to the playoffs every year of their existence, have a USL League One championship to show for it, which you were a part of. It's kind of a legacy team trying to defend against a newcomer to this league, trying to make a name for themselves. Does any of that factor into the lead up to the game for Coach Wright and for you guys?
Not particularly. I mean, I think we need to use our experience, like you said. We've been here before, and we got some experienced guys that have been to other playoff games and championship games. So we need to use that and lean on that. We have some young guys, fresh guys that I know are eager to play in this. And we need them to match the intensity, which I think we will do. We just need to get the goals. I mean, that's the most important thing. And I think we're riding that high from last Saturday, like I said. And we'll get the job done.
5 goals against Tormenta. And I feel like that's a big deal, Tyler, because this is a Tormenta team that was not in a playoffs spot. There was nothing. There was really no impact for them. And those teams, to me, at the end of the year, those teams can be dangerous, right? They've got nothing but pride in the crest on the line. And yet you guys came in. It was a little chippy up front, a couple of spots here and there. Obviously, guys like Aaron over there, long history between they and the Triumph. But despite the fact that I felt like Tormenta was trying to kind of muck up the game a little bit, it really felt like you guys were as dialed in and focused as I've seen the Greenville Triumph all year long.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a great time to be doing that. And obviously, it's a bit of a trap game where they're not really, fighting for anything except for contracts and pride and trying to ruin our home playoff match. So we really had to lock in, which I thought we did, and executed up top perfectly. And we made things a little interesting with the first goal given up, but we produced. And, I think we can do the same thing tomorrow. And I think it's going to be a great day. We just need to get that first goal and then play it out from there.
Some of the guys that are playing up front, Lyon, et cetera, Leo, these guys have really kind of picked it up a notch the last couple of weeks. I've had conversations with buddies before that I've said, I believe that starts to the back, right? Like it starts from you guys across the back line that have kind of been able to build some walls in front of teams like Tormenta that have really opened up the field for these guys to get up, to play, I don't want to say reckless, but to really be on the accelerator into the front end of the field. Like I told Rick Wright at the ceremony on Wednesday, I've been so impressed with the way that the back line has felt like a stalwart of this team so far this year. What would you, if you agree with that, attribute that to? Is that just been something you guys have been dialed in on making sure was a presence to free up the guys up front?
Yeah, I mean, I give them kudos. We try to do our job at the back, and we basically just give them the ball and make sure that they do their job, and that relieves so much pressure from the back line. If we can get a goal early, and then we can really get on top of the team and kind of set the tone. And I give all credit to them because Lyon's obviously had an incredible season, Golden Boot. He's had plenty of assists. And then we've had other young guys come in and make a difference. And obviously Leo up top, who's been around the game so long and has so much experience, he has kind of been the forefront, just giving him the ball, and he relieves that pressure. So it's honestly pretty easy. We just give them the ball and just let them do their thing because Lyon has obviously been a force to be reckoned with this year, and it's pretty tough to stop, as you can see. So hopefully he continues that path tomorrow and get the W.
One more for Tyler Polak as we get set. The Greenville Triumph hosting at Knoxville One tomorrow, Paladin Stadium, 2 p.m. kick in a first-round matchup in the USL League One Championship. Obviously, you guys, Rick Wright at the helm for the first time. First time going to the playoffs without John Harkes as the man in charge. What differences, what philosophy changes, what have we seen, or what will we see tomorrow out of a Rick Wright-led playoff team?
I don't think you'll see too much difference. I know for sure when we do get that first goal, we're not going to let off the gas. We're going to, go for more like we did Saturday against Tormenta. We're going to keep going. We want to put, separation between us. Football, there's anything can happen and anything will happen. So you got to be ready for it. So getting as many goals as possible is huge. So we're just trying to lean on our attackers, like I said, and keep the separation. So we'll keep the pedal on the gas and give you guys a show.
Tyler Pollack, defender for the Greenville Triumph again tomorrow, Paladin Stadium, 2 p.m. first round USL League One playoff matchup against Knoxville SC. It is going to be a riot. Tailgate starts at 11, kickoff at 2. Tyler, my man, as always, great to have you, buddy. Good luck tomorrow, and I'm coming with a jacket that just unbuttons so I can, like, get quick with the Tarps Off campaign.
I love it. I'm ready for it. But I appreciate it, and thank you so much. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
My guy, Tyler Pollack, absolute legend. Greenville Triumph at the house tomorrow. 2 p.m. kick. When we come back, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us to talk Panther football. They host the Saints on Sunday. We'll break it down next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The interview that you have none been waiting for. At least,
let's do this. Let's go.
At least, yeah. Not, you know, ordinarily on Saints Panthers week, when the legendary Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, stops by, usually this is a spot where Rashad and I, twice a year, talk a little bleep back and forth, have a little fun, you know, make fun of the teams a little bit. And I got to tell you, Rashad Beard,
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Whatever, you know, just whatever. It's whatever.
Yeah, no, it's a unique situation for both teams. We're both kind of backsliding a little bit. And listen, I'm still excited about this. Bryce Young is getting a start, and you all better not let Bryce Young cook you guys up, because it's going to be something to talk about. It will be something to talk about if Bryce Young goes out there and slices you guys up for a little, you know what I mean? So
let me, all right. Walk me through this. Tell me, where am I at on the scale of fan, all right? Because I got to tell you, Rashad, we've already proven we're not firing Dennis Allen for mediocrity. The man's won less than a third of the games as a head coach between then Oakland and now New Orleans. I'm at the point where there's a little part of me, and I don't know, I can't tell you how much it is. There's a little part of me that hopes BY cooks us up, because it might be the only damn way we fire Dennis Allen and move on. And I'm not saying Dennis Allen's the only problem, but that team, clearly they don't fall in line behind Dennis Allen. They don't like this dude. They don't believe in this dude. They don't listen to this dude. We got nothing. So if BY comes out and puts up, let's say, 275 and 3 tutties on my team, like, maybe that's enough. Because I'm going to tell you what right now, what's going to happen is we won't fire Dennis Allen. Clint Kubiak's going to go somewhere else and be the dog I think he can be as an HC, and we're going to end up not doing that. On top of that, if BY cooks, at least he'll show he can cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one way to think about it, right? If BY does go out there and have a great day, which I think he is trending in the right direction based off of the last game. You know, he it wasn't perfect by any means, but at least heading in the direction where we think he can at least show us something. I do think he did a decent job against a very good Broncos defense. The Saints defense is good, but it's not the Broncos defense. So maybe Bryce Young can put together something here. And I don't know. We don't have anything to lose, right? There's no point in us not playing Bryce Young and not seeing what we have. And I think he can go out there and play free and take the pressure off. And for your sake, hopefully get your guy fired. And I think it's possible. Quite possible.
See, I'm noticing a quiet confidence, a storm brewing from Rashad, because he knows that the Panthers are going to beat this horrible team, the New Orleans Saints, and it's going to be a cakewalk. That's what it's going to be. And you know, I could see that. Look at that smile. I mean, he knows. That's a knowing smile. One person on this panel happy, the other person's wearing sunglasses. And
I have nothing to lose. Like, I could care less, right? We have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose here. Like, I have all the confidence in the world, because if we lose, hey, we were supposed to lose. If we win, oh, dude, oh, you're going to hear it, buddy. You are going to hear it if we happen
Look,
to win this game.
There is, I said this earlier in the show, Rashad, there is, for your team, for my team, nothing on the line outside of Because, like you said, you're supposed to lose. If New Orleans goes into Carolina and wins, I come on next week and I'm like, what's up, Shad? You're like, yeah, dog, that's what it was always supposed to be. If Carolina wins, you might not be on this show next week, dog, because I may not do the show next week. I may just call in sick for the whole week because I will be sick of this crap.
Yeah.
And I got to put up with that.
House money, man. I'm playing with house money here. Low expectations. You know what I mean? If we come away with the victory, yeah, I'm victory lapping. So, yeah, I hope to see you next week in a good light.
Gross. That's weak. That's weak, and there ain't a damn thing I can do about it. That's why I hate it. All right, let's jump in here and talk about this game a little bit. I guess we have to. Derek Carr coming back for New Orleans. Ain't played a ball game in 5 weeks, but you all know who Derek Carr is already. Yay. Derek Carr ain't the problem. We got Olave, who seems to be getting a concussion every week. He's like baby Tua Tagovailoa right now. Rashid Shaheed, who was the only deep threat we had, down for the season with an injury. Like, this team's busted up and can't do much. Like, this to me feels like a week that Isiro Uwuru and the gang should be full afterburner on the attack defensively. Do you expect to see the defense kind of turn loose a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're getting some guys back. And please, Rob, don't talk to me about injuries, sir. Like, come on. Don't give me the injury excuse. You're talking to a Panthers fan here. We've dealt with more than enough injuries. So, hey, looks like we're playing on an even playing field here. We're going to get some guys back. Hopefully, Wanham will finally get a chance to see him. And, again, JC, the defense is getting better. It's not perfect, but we're going to get some guys back potentially, and we'll be able to, you know, hopefully Derek Carr will rattle him a little bit, being his first game back in 5 weeks, like you mentioned. I think the guys are going to get better, and we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of pride here for the defense. Y'all hung 40 up on us, you know what I mean, last time around. So if there's some time to see a dog, some dog in this team, and, you know, Sean Payton, your other guy, you know, last week, tried to run the score up on us. So we've got a lot of, you know, incentive to go out here and play well and show that we have some fight. And so I think you're going to see just that this week.
First off, we hung 47 on you. Let's be real clear. All right. Let's be real clear. I got to take what I can get, Rashad, because I don't have much. All right. Golly. All right. On the other side of the football, offensively, again, you kind of know where the Saints are right now. They're a team that's going to try to take the run away from you and try to get to a quarterback, especially Bryce Young. They're going to try to get back there and do everything you just said about Carr to Spencer Rattler. And yes, we have won a game since Domo. We went up to Dallas and hung 41 on them. Now, we ain't won a game since then, but we did get Dallas at their house. So at least I got those two. Nobody asked you, Lonzo.
I was with you.
Okay, I'm just making sure. No, offensively, you do get BY back. Twofold. Start with this. BY should start every game the rest of the year. There is no point in going back to Andy Dalton. Look, the theory was you bring him in so you can show the Canales system works. Okay, you did. You beat Vegas. You competed with Cincinnati, but it's been all downhill since then. I think you roll BY the rest of the season. So if nothing else, you can answer the question at the end of the year. Can he or can't he?
Yeah, I firmly am with that. I've been saying that for a while here. And again, it's not about who the better quarterback is. It's about the future at this point. We know Andy Dalton is probably going to give us a better quote-unquote opportunity to win, although I think it's a little bit even. I think that, you know, Bryce should have the opportunity for him to play the rest of the season, and let's see what we have so we can make that decision whether he's going to be a long-term backup or whether he can actually be the franchise quarterback and show something. And so, again, I'm not saying that he is the guy. I'm not saying he has to show it, right? He's got to go out there and get better and better and better week in, week out. And by the end of the season, we can make that determination whether we're going to draft the guy, bring in a veteran. But we're only going to know that if we see him, and we have nothing else to play for. We're not in playoff contention. There's nothing else to do but see if Bryce Young can do this. And so I'm of that thought. Yes, let him play the rest of the season.
So somebody asked me earlier in the week, because I had this take earlier in the week, and somebody said, what's different, right? Like, you didn't say that last year. You set off, you put him out there in last year's offense because it's so bad. You're not going to – what's different this year? And the answer is – Dave Canales ain't going anywhere, right? Like, even if you don't win another game, Dave Canales ain't going anywhere. So even if the team ain't what you want it to be, and it's not, at the end of the day, you've got your coach, you've got your OC, you've got your plan, you've got your system. Even if the team's bad, I got to see BY can operate in it and hopefully show some flashes that you go, all right, next year when we've got potentially a number one overall draft pick, you moved up in the trade with the, not that it's a huge jump, but you moved up in the Ravens trade for Deontay. We'll talk about that in a second. I got to see if he can handle the system before we worry about, can he handle it with better investments, or do we need to go ahead and figure out how the hell we're going to make a change? Is Shador the guy?
Yeah, I think Canales, like you mentioned, Canales isn't going anywhere. I think he has a type, a quarterback type, and I don't know that Bryce Young fits that type, although I think that's part of the reason why he was hired. That's neither here nor there. I do think Canales deserves the opportunity to get a quarterback that's going to make his system work, and he hasn't been given that opportunity. He did not select Bryce Young, nor did he select Andy Dalton. So he deserves the opportunity to go and get his guy, whether it's Shador, whether it's Cam Ward, whether it's another veteran out there next year. He deserves that opportunity so that we can see his offense perform at its best. And we just haven't seen that. And that's not his fault entirely, right? He's dealing with some holdovers from the last regime. So that's just what it is. And he just deserves that opportunity to go get his guy.
I don't disagree with that at all. John Brooks, the rumor going around is he could make his debut this weekend. Do we have any news on that you're aware of?
Yeah, I don't have anything. I'm just excited to see it as anybody else, although I don't want to rush it either. I'm seeing what they're – if you take a look at the offense and you see what Miles Sanders is doing, just envision number 24 doing that, because that's what Jonathan Brooks is going to do, catching out the backfield. Really smooth running back, and I cannot wait to see him, but I also don't want to rush it. Coming off of a major injury last year, so let's take the time. We knew it was going to take this amount of time to get him on the field, so let's slow roll. It's no real rush to get him out there, and let's wait until he's ready.
Yeah, I there's no point in hustling him out, right? There's no point in hurrying this. Like, let him take his time. All right, the Deontay trade earlier this week, you move up spots, and there's the chance this could be anywhere. I think the max you're moving up is probably 13 spots. There's also the chance Baltimore wins the Super Bowl, the Carolina Panthers get the one pick, and you literally moved up one spot. But, and this is the point I made earlier, that dude, even I know he said he wanted to stay in Carolina. Realistically, you're cleaning books, probably wasn't going to happen to come back. So as much as it makes the team worse this year, you're a one-win football team. It's not like there would a whole lot worse to go below that. I actually don't mind the deal. At least you get something out of it as opposed to just letting them walk at the end of it.
I think the deal was, I mean, I've got a lot of opinions on this. I don't think the deal was great at all. I think it was, in fact, a terribly structured deal, to be honest with you. You know, we essentially paid the Ravens to take him. So there's some things going on behind the scenes in regards to Deontay. Things will start to come out. I think he was obviously frustrated with the situation. I think when he first got here, things were supposed to be different, right? And they just did not pan out the way he was told. And I think he got frustrated and he wanted to get out. And basically we just gave him away, essentially. Like, we moved up a couple of spots. Yeah, we got something, but basically nothing. I mean, the goal was to free up a little bit of cap space as well. And offering his contract, we didn't get that either. Like, we paid the Ravens to take him from us, essentially. And it wasn't a good structured deal, but it is what it is. We did get something, albeit very, very, very little, for a talented wide receiver.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday. I'm going to keep it a buck with you, Rashad. I don't know if I'm coming Sunday yet or not. Like, I want to, but no, I also really don't.
Now, come on, man. You got to come. We got to take our annual, you know what I mean? You know what we do. We got to go up to the top, enjoy our festivities. Come on, don't do that.
He's going to be there. He just wants you to. I mean it when I say it.
If I'm there Sunday, it's only because we got a 4-year brown liquor streak going that I don't want to break. That's the only reason to drive my ass up to Charlotte this Sunday. That's it.
Absolutely. Let's do it, man. Come on.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Find him on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed up to that. There is no better place to listen to Panther football talk than with Rashad and Dave over on the PNP. Appreciate you, big dog. I will maybe see you Sunday, fella. Maybe. We'll see.
Come on, man. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
My guy, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Lonzo with a sports flash.
The New York Jets broke a five-game losing streak last night with a 21-13 win over the Houston Texans. Aaron Rodgers completed 22 of 32 passes for 211 yards and three touchdowns, outdueling C.J. Stroud, who was only 11 of 30 for 191 yards with no touchdowns. Garrett Wilson made an amazing touchdown catch. You guys really need to watch it. It was amazing. A familiar voice to baseball fans has stepped away from the mic. After calling games for 42 years, Bob Costas announced yesterday he's called his last game. The last game was the ALDS series between the Yankees and Royals. Tune in tonight, 7 p.m., as the Burns Rebels head to Boiling Springs to take on the Bulldogs. It's Burns versus Boiling Springs right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.